librarian who's taking a night off. I'm so glad you're here with us, and I can't wait for you to hear our guests. Tonight, New York Times and USA best-selling author Julia London is with me. Let's give a little listen to what Tabitha's music sounds like, and we'll be right back. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with me tonight. As I said, Tabitha was called away, and so I'm sitting in for her. Normally, you can hear me on Authors on the Air, but I'm glad you're here on The Librarian. Our guest tonight is I want to say, internationally famous, Julia London. You cannot go any place where there are books in aisles and not see her name, whether it's in your grocery store, in a bookstore, or in a big box store. Julia London is everywhere, even in the smallest sections. She is known for her fabulous historical romance. She writes Highlander Scottish romance. She writes contemporary romance, and she writes sexily lusty romance as well. It is such an honor to welcome to the show Julia London. Julia, thank you so much for being with me tonight on The Librarian. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, we're thrilled that you could come. We're thrilled that you can come. I understand that you knew from a very early age that you were going to be a writer. I loved reading your bio. It was so cute. Not the short one, just the real one. And tell me, what in the world, how did you know the unofficial bio? Because you were this little girl playing with Barbies and bikes and had a great imagination, and you just knew you were going to be a writer, didn't you?
Well, I don't know that I knew I was going to be a writer then. I just liked to write, and I had dreams of great adventure. You know, I lived on a ranch in West Texas, and all I had were my siblings to play with. And one thing that my mother was very good about is, you know, once a week on Saturdays, you'd go in and you'd go to the grocery store, and then you'd go to the library and get your books for the week. So I had all these great books as a little girl that she read to me, or when I started reading my own, and I, you know, it just opened up my mind. And so then I would go out and make up my own stories and act them out, of course, as you do.
Of course. What fun would it be?
And then I started
writing
them. Yeah.
Now, you
and sometimes you could rope a sibling in to play a part.
Well, there you go. Now, is it my understanding that your mom saved your first written story?
Yes.
From
she still has it.
Or something?
Yeah, and it was, I can't remember, back then it was, there were reruns of Wagon Train that came on in the afternoon before my sisters got home from school. So it was an episode of Wagon Train that I wrote. Yeah, she still definitely has that.
And you placed yourself firmly in the center of the story.
Oh, my gosh, I was the child that the captain had to save after the Indians tried to take her away. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
How
I figured prominently into all of my stories.
I'm sure you did, because you were your own best friend. And, of course,
right.
you would want to be, you know, you were who you played with. So, of course, you had to be in the stories. Like you said, unless you had to drag a sibling in for a part here or there.
Yes.
What a terrific way to grow up. So you've been a reader forever, and how is it that you decided, after your love of writing and books, you said, I think I'm going to go ahead and write a book? When did that happen?
Oh, well, you know, I went to college, and I got a degree in government. I don't know why anymore. I have no idea why. I can't even. And then I minored in, like, British history, which was great, though, because I read a lot of British literature, and I read a lot of the Jane Austen and those kind of books. But I had a career in government. In fact, I worked for the White House. And when Bill Clinton was elected.
Really?
I was, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I went from, you know, went to the University of Texas, and then I started with the Department of Commerce, and then I ended up working in the Whitehouse is a senior policy analyst for the Drug Czar's office. And when Bill Clinton was elected, he fired a lot of civil servants. And he just cleaned out the White House and brought in his own staff. And I came back to Texas, and I was in public administration at that point. But what happened was I came back from Washington in my ivory tower into public administration at the local level. And I just thought, I can't do this all my life. And I was young. I was in my early 30s. And I thought, I can't deal with this, people calling me up and wanting to talk about, are we going to get that bond for that new jail? I'm like, I don't know. I don't care, really. So I thought, what am I going to do? And I had been reading. And, the thing about my reading tastes were I never really categorized books in my head. I mean, I never thought that,
right,
this is a thriller or this is a romance.
Right.
I mean, I just picked up what I wanted to read and read it. But
there were fiction
or nonfiction.
I think Amazon.
Yeah, there were fiction or nonfiction.
Exactly. Exactly. I remember those days before.
I know. And I never even really paid attention to who published it or,
right.
I didn't. It was just if the book looked good and the back cover, that's how I picked it up. And I did pick up an Iris Johansson book from a garage sale. And it was, she had stopped writing romance long before this, but it was one of her old romance novels. And it was set in, I want to say Egypt, in the ancient Egypt. And it was so good. And I thought to myself, I think I could write a story like that. So I tried it. And it turns out that I could, I just tried it. And I wrote a book. It was a medieval setting. It was very long and very, it was horrible, I'll just have to say. I mean, it was super long. But I did kind of figure out, because I was reading a lot, and as I was writing, I sort of figured out about how the beginning and the middle and the end is constructed and, how that story arc works. So I went back and wrote another one, and this one I set in the Regency era because I knew that much better, and that's the one I sold. That was my first book. So that's how it happened.
What was the title of
that book? The first one was The Devil's Love.
So I have a question, and I have to admit I'm ignorant on the different genres in romance, simply because there just are so many. What is the difference between Gothic romance, Regency romance, and historical romance? Never mind, Scottish or British or anything like that. What is the difference in the types of romance that someone would be interested in reading?
Well, there used to be a lot more, but they've, publishing has kind of collapsed on itself and shrunk them down into these very narrow categories. But a Regency romance would be one that was set during the Regency period when King George was considered mad and his son was the regent. And it's a very confined period. It was only about 20 years, from 1800 to 1820. But all of the Jane Austen novels are set in that time period. So I refer to them as the Jane Austen kind of books because they're more comedy of manners and, they're all very, set in big houses with lots of money. And Gothic romances are more like your Victoria Holt books. You go off to a castle and it's dark and there's a brooding man and there's something going on and you don't know what it is, And so they're more, suspenseful. And then other one, and so historical romance is generally any romance that's not, in a confined time period like the Regency. The Georgian is very popular, Victorian era. Anything outside of those defined eras is just referred to as a historical romance.
Interesting. So I was going down your book list because in your bio you said you wrote about 30 books. I think it's way over that. I don't think you know how to count. There must be 100 of them here. But
there's a lot now.
you also write Highlander, which is kind of also a period book as well, and generally set in Scotland or Ireland. Am I correct about that?
In Scotland.
In Scotland.
Just in Scotland.
Okay. Okay. And then you have The Rogues of Regent Street. Are those considered Regency books?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Most of the books I've written are set in the Regency era, or maybe, you know, technically speaking, a little bit into the Victorian era, but people consider them Regency romances. That's just what I'm known for. But I've written some that are set in Scotland, and those are just called Scottish Scottish romances.
I see. So you also write contemporary, which is modern, for those of you who don't know, and women's fiction. And so more and more I am seeing traditional romance writers who are writing women's fiction. Do you notice that? And tell me why.
Well, I think it's kind of a natural progression. And to me, here's the difference between the two kind of books, the contemporary romance and the women's fiction. You know, the contemporary romance is about a romance, you know.
Right.
Most of them are between men and women, but of course they have, you know, other kinds.
Men, women, women. Right. Right.
Yeah, or wolves, you know. There's all kinds of them.
That's right, they do have the paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Like
right.
The shapeshifter ones. But most of the contemporary romance is about a romance between a man and a woman, and women's fiction usually has some kind of romance in it, but it also includes a lot of other relationships, like with sisters or mothers or fathers.
That's
so
funny.
It's a little
right.
bit
right.
The characterizations in the plot are a little broader, but I think it's kind of a natural progression for a lot of writers, because as you're writing a romance, you are including a lot of those relationships, and, you know, you just sort of want to explore them too. So I think that's why a lot of writers try it.
Do you enjoy writing women's fiction as much as you enjoy writing Regency?
I do. I like them both. I like them at different times. You know, sort of like my reading taste. You know, you'll like glom
okay.
onto some author, and then after you've read a few of those, you want to go on to something else. I feel the same way when I'm writing. If I have been away from historical too long, I want to go back. You know, it's such a world-building kind of experience, and you can
yeah.
really, you know, like step into another world and sort of live there for a while. But then, you know, after a while, I think, well, I'd like to, you know, just be normal and not live in another world. And so writing contemporary romance is more appealing to me. And, you know, exploring yeah. themes that are present in today's
right.
in today's world.
Now, you have a series that you formerly called it the Thrill Seekers Anonymous, Over the Edge. Is that the lusty romance that so many readers adore, that is a little bit more edgy than typical contemporary romance?
You mean more like leaning more towards erotic?
Well, a little sexier.
No.
Than,
you know, when I wrote that, the Thrill Seekers, that was before the erotic, you know, blew up. And it was
right.
much earlier than that. And the Thrill Seekers were because they were three men who liked thrill-seeking adventure.
Okay.
So, no, it had nothing to do with sex and although there is sex
okay.
in the books, but it's not like what you're referring to.
Right, right. It's
yeah.
Sometimes it's difficult to tell. Someone just blogged about this, saying that, you know, you go to, say, Amazon, and you look at a book, and it's hard to tell by a thumbnail, and so you open up and you read the synopsis of the story, and there are no hints that there's going to be erotica or such graphic sex scenes, and a lot of people don't want that in their book, which is understandable. That's why there's, you know, chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry ice cream. We don't all like the same thing.
Right.
And that, so they're fine, you know, she was saying, do we need to have like a rating system for books if they're not going to say that this is, you know, adult themed in some ways? I really don't know how to answer someone like that, because I read everything and I'm not offended by anything. I mean, I don't
yeah.
concentrate my life on erotica, trust me, but there are some really, truly good erotica writers, and I enjoy reading their work. I don't enjoy silliness, but I do enjoy the work. So what do you think, Julia? You write in all these different genres.
Mm-hmm.
Should there be a little bit more warning for readers that this maybe contains some adult content, some sexy stuff?
Well, I honestly think if you're picking up a romance novel, you should expect there's going to be for the most part, not every romance writer includes it, but most romance writers have sex in their books. You know, they may not have it as often as an erotic novel would have it or a steamy,
right.
But there is sex in the book. So, you know, I guess it depends on
how graphic the words are. The text.
Yeah, I guess how graphic it is, but that's a really subjective thing too. You know,
right.
So I don't know. If I was writing erotica or erotic romance, which I don't write, but if I did, I would want to put something on there because the other part of it is you have a lot of young girls who read these books. Not
yes.
young, like, I mean, you know, like teens.
Younger.
14,
yes,
15, 16. Yeah.
Sure.
So you want to make sure that they know. So I would put it on there, but I don't put it on my novels now because I think it's just, you know,
it's
that's what you expect when you pick up a romance novel.
Sure. Sure. You expect romance, but you may not expect the sex, but nowadays you should. It's just the way it's framed in the story. So, interesting.
And when I was a teenager, let me tell you, I was hoping there was sex in those romance novels.
Well, we all were. We looked for those
yeah.
parts. I know that's true. I know that's true. Are you working on a book right now? Or have you just finished one by any chance? Tell me what you're working on.
Oh, boy. So I just had three books come out in this Scottish series. And I kind of took a detour from the Regency and went back 100 years into the Georgian period. And I focused on when England and Scotland were formally unified. And that happened in 1707. They were actually, you know, unified under one crown. But it was like a bad marriage. You know, they had had trouble for centuries. It made a lot of economic sense. It made a lot of sense for the English to want to put the Scottish under their control. But they were like, you know, two people who were married and didn't like each other. And I thought it was a great backdrop for having, like, English brides with Scottish heroes. So I did this series, and I did it around events in Scotland and England's history. So the first one happened when they were unified. The next one happened when there was a rebellion, and then the next one happened after that. And it's all centered on one family. Well, everybody liked this family, so I decided to continue with it. And I'm just now finishing up a book. It's the fourth book in this series. And they
wow.
called it the Highland Groom series because we didn't think it was going to go for as many books as it has. So I'm not sure that's a very good title. I mean, good series title anymore, but it's all these Scottish books, you know, this family set in 18th century Scotland and how the family changed with the history of the two countries.
How much research do you do for each of your books, particularly the historical?
The historicals, so I, you know, most of them I wrote that were set in the Regency era, and I had that minor in British history, and I read a lot,
right.
I took several British literature classes, because I think I must have been a queen in a previous life or something. I've always been very attracted
of course you
to
were.
Monarchies.
Of course
and
you
jewel
are.
Crowns.
Absolutely, tiaras, of course.
So, I mean, I had a, you
the
know,
crown
pretty
jewels,
good.
It makes sense to me, right?
Exactly. And I had a pretty good basis, basic knowledge of the period, and I have picked
sure.
up books through the years, so I had a really good little reference library. And then I've written so many books set in that confined 20-year era that I've become sort of like a mini expert, I think. So I pretty much know what was happening, and if I don't know the specifics, I know exactly where to go to find out. And this book that I'm writing, this new series set in Scotland, I went over there and I was, I stayed at an estate. So me and two or three writers did this. We went on a little writing retreat and we stayed at an estate in the Highlands and, you know, we'd go around and pick up some materials and, you know, tour, go to all these little different places. And I have started creating another little reference library with Scottish materials too. But I have to do quite a lot
wow.
actually. I have to read
I would
a
imagine
lot.
You would. So
yeah.
how difficult is it to name your characters? Because names were very different then. You just can't, you know, call someone Lulu or Pam or something like that in a book.
No, you can't.
Names are very time-dated, aren't they?
Yes. They are. So I, you know, when I first started writing the Regency set romances, I had two dogs. I used to walk them in a cemetery. And it was an old cemetery, and I would pick up names from the tombstones there because it would be appropriate to the period of time I was writing. And I think
so
about that now.
That's a great idea. I
walking
love
through
that.
Like, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I hope nobody saw
but,
you.
Now I use behindthename.org, and they have, you know, every nationality of names, but they also have sort of the etymology of the name, so you can tell when, you know, they were in use or how old they were. So I use
how
that
cool
a lot.
Is that?
Yeah.
How now? Do
oh, it's
you
great.
Name
you can name babies off that side.
Does your publisher name your books, or do you name them?
It's a joint operation. I'm laughing because we've had some real battles about it, but you know, I have title approval with my books, but they're coming at it from a complete marketing perspective. And
right,
I would say that they
the
don't
creative.
Always care if the title matches the content of the book. You know, they're looking at a package, like what the reader sees.
Right.
And I care, you know, so we have spent a lot of time trying to get the right titles and the right packaging. And it's a process, but yeah. And I'll tell you, I pitch titles all the time, and they're always rejected. It's like, this is a great title. And they're like, mm-hmm. no. So it's definitely a joint effort.
When I look at the covers of the Highlander series, the current one, are these the artwork? Is this what would be known as a bodice ripper? Back in the day?
Bodice ripping referred to things that took place in the book, like back in the 70s. You know, I can't think of, like, Kathleen Woodiwiss was a good example. There were a couple others, like Janet Daly. They had, you know, it's really interesting how we've evolved as readers and writers. But back in the 70s and 80s, rape fantasy was kind of a thing, and those bodices would, you know, he would actually rip the clothes off the heroine. So that's where the term bodice ripper came from.
Now,
Fabio
was the cover model of the day.
That's
right?
Even, I think, before Fabio. And then Fabio,
really?
He became popular as, you know, like the He-Man that would do that. I think he was more like 80s, wasn't he? Yeah. And so that's where the term bodice ripper came from, but...
Ah, interesting.
So
now
the
I'm
covers I have right
what,
now would be called a clinch cover.
Clinch cover. Oh, because they're in clinch obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are great. I like those. I've learned so much from you already. We've just been talking a few minutes. If you want to call in and say hello to the wonderful Julia London, please do so at 347-633-9609. That's 347-633-9609. I'm looking at your website, and I noticed some very, very special names on here, and some who are my friends also, Roxy St. Clair and Christy Ridgway and my friend Samantha Chase and Kristen Harbor and you and Lynn Ray Harris and Barbara Freezy. You are doing a special series called Seven Brides for Seven Soldiers that's coming out in the fall. Can you tell me about this project, please?
Yeah. So four or five of those authors did this last year. They did Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and it's seven books. They each come out, you know, each author writes one, and they come out 1 week after the other, but they're like seven friends, and they have linked stories. So once you start on the series, you know, you kind of like know these characters and you can go on to the next one. And they did that last fall. It was really successful. And they had a couple of authors drop out and they asked me if I would join. So this is my first go at it, but it's Seven Brides for Seven Soldiers. So all seven of these men grew up together in this little town on the West Coast. And all of them served in the military in one capacity or another. And so each of us writes our own story, but we include the other characters in it. Not a lot of it, but, you know, just so you'll feel connected and you
connected.
Just see what happens to this group of friends.
Do you have
I think it's a really cool
Bible,
idea.
I do too. Do you have a story Bible for when you write a connected group of stories like that? And how does it work? What are the logistics of putting together this many authors who have connected stories? And by the way, the covers are beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous.
They are, aren't they?
Really are. They're branded beautifully. The colors are exceptional. You have really nice looking guys and beautiful women, which is as it should be, because who wants to read romance that's not gorgeous?
Right.
So how does it work when you have seven authors telling stories, but you still need to know about the other stories? How does it work, Julia?
Well, yeah, there is a Bible. Barbara Freethy and Rocky and Christy, I think, put it together. They kind of came up with the framework for the series. And then we all decided on what our character names were going to be and what looks we wanted and, you know, and then picked our models. And then Barbara has somebody who does the covers for us. But then there is a Bible where we all put in what we're writing so we can all see. And then as we get closer, I don't know if anybody started yet. I just recently started mine. There's a lot of collaboration online about, you know, I'm here at this point in the novel and I need, you know, to see these two guys. And we talk about how that could happen, you know, and if somebody's coming after me or before me, they insert that scene into their book, a quick scene. So that's how it's done. I have to give all the credit to these women, because I was just like astounded by how organized it was, because I'm not that organized when I write series on my own. I wish I were.
Well, I know that Christian Harbor has done this, and I know Rocky's done this too, and so it doesn't surprise me. But the collection looks gorgeous. It really is. Congratulations. And this will be out in the fall of this year, correct?
Right. I think, I can't remember exactly when the first one comes out, but it's like, I think in October maybe the first one comes out. So, yeah.
Wow.
And so you'll have them like up until Christmas. 1 week.
How fun.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. I want to tell you that this has been such an honor to speak to you, and that you came on the show despite the fact that the regular host is not here. I want to just kind of play Final Five with you, which is something I do on my show. So it's five quick questions and five quick answers. Do you mind?
So no. I was like, there a gong or a buzzer if I get the wrong answer.
No. Remember I told you before the show, it's all about you. So
okay.
You told me you had very eclectic reading taste, which I appreciate, as I do too. Whose book is on your nightstand right now?
It's called, oh my gosh, I knew you were going to ask that. Close Enough to Touch. It's by a new author. I can't remember her name. I'll look at it real quick.
I know that title.
Close Enough to Touch by Colleen Oakley. Very good. Very good book.
I've heard the title, so I'm going to have to go and look and see if I have that someplace in the stack of 200 books sitting on my window seat.
Right.
Is there a book that you like to read over and over again, maybe once a year, maybe more, maybe less, but that you've read more than once, that is just one of your favorite things?
You know, I don't read books over again very often, but there are two that I can tell you. There's three. Whitney by My Love by Judith McNaught. I've read that two or three times. Here Be Dragons by Sharon K. Penman. It was about the beginning of Wales. And then there's one that I stole from my mother many years ago. It was called Harry of Monmouth, and it was about Henry V. And it was just this beautiful book, and it's out of print, and I have it. I have it.
Wow.
It's on my shelf,
you
and
hang
she can't
on to
have
that
it back.
One.
Yeah.
There you go. You hang on to that. I'm sure by now she's not even remembered that it's gone, and that she can come and borrow it. She has to sit in your living room to read it, right?
Exactly.
so she doesn't take it back. You've traveled a little bit. You've gone around. You've kind of walked in the footsteps of your characters, which has got to be a lot of fun. Is there some place you'd like to go that you haven't yet been, or some place that was so outstanding you want to go back?
You know, I've been all over Europe. I would really like to go south. I would like to go to Buenos Aires you know, somewhere way down there. I would really like to do that.
Yep.
Because I think it's a whole different culture, a whole different historical vibe,
oh, yes.
And I would really enjoy that.
And the seasons are reversed. You could go when it's hot in the summer and be down there in the winter, and it'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Because we both know what hot summer days are like being in Florida and Texas.
We sure
that would
do.
Be fun. What is something people would be surprised to learn about you?
Probably either that I worked at the White House, which has been long enough that I never even think about it anymore.
It's really,
or maybe that
stunning.
I'm a
yeah.
Or that I'm a runner. I mean, I don't think people think of romance writers as running, but I do.
Really? Do you run marathons?
I did. I don't so much anymore. I ran half marathons. I'm just feel like it's too much work to train for them, and then I feel like I'm just too old to do them anymore. It takes too much out of me, but I run 4 or 5
right.
times a week.
Really? That's wonderful. I mean, that's a good thing when you're older that you're running. You know, as
yeah.
we get older, we got to keep moving. So good for you. Who is your best friend writer?
Terry Wilson.
So Terry Wilson and I decide to sit down and write a book about your life. It's going to be fun. What are we going to title it, Julia?
What? I'm sorry? What was the question?
So Terry Wilson and I are going to write a book about your life, and we're going to have fun writing it. But we need a title. So what are we going to call it?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Been there, done that.
Okay, there you go. The Life of Julia London, Been There, Done That, and even went to the White House. So, tell everybody where we can find you on the web. You're so funny. Tell everyone where to find you and all your pages, please.
Okay, Facebook, Julia London. You know, Facebook.com/Julia London. On Twitter, I'm Julia F. London. There's an F in there. On Instagram, I'm also, I'm Julia_F_London.
Wow. And your website, please?
JuliaLondon.com.
It would be a biggie. And by the way, your website is so nice and so easy to use. And I really like it a lot. I don't like fussy websites at all. And I think most readers don't. We want to know. Get right to the heart of the matter, and the heart of the matter is your books and about you, and that's wonderful. Do you have a newsletter that you want people to sign up for, and where can we find it?
I do. Yeah, there's several signups on the website, but it's julialondon.com/newsletter, and we do, we send stuff out, you know, just maybe once a month, tell people what's going on. I generally have some kind of book coming up or I'm going somewhere. But we also do a lot of giveaways. We like to keep people engaged. So, yeah, that's definitely a good place to keep up with me. So that's julialondon.com.
And where is your next live event? Where will you, because you're not at RT, obviously. Will you be coming to RWA in Orlando?
I'm not going to RWA. I'm going to be at the Boas and Tiaras event, reader event in Dallas in June.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be at a book festival in September in Georgia. And the Buns and Roses event for literacy, that's also in Dallas, that'll be October.
How fun. So there's lots of places to find you, and you have all of these on your website, correct?
Yes.
Julia London, New York Times bestselling author of Romance and USA Today bestseller. I am so happy and so honored that you came on the show tonight, and it was such a joy to speak to
you.
I wish you all the best. It looks like you're beloved by readers everywhere. Your reviews are just glowing, and you're certainly prolific, and it's amazing. I wish you all the best. And please come back.
Oh, my gosh. This is a good way to end an interview.
Yeah.
I'm all pumped up now.
Please come back. Come back on my show and bring a friend with you, and maybe I'll put you behind the microphone and you can interview one of your friends. How about that?
That would be fun. That would be a blast.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
And so I'll pop you an email about that, and anytime you want to, I'll be glad to set it up and be your techie for the night.
Okay. Yeah, let's definitely do that. But thank you so much
okay.
for having me and inviting me. I'm so happy to be able to reach out to your readers and get them interested
in
romance.
Listen.
thank you. And thank you very much for giving me the education on the different genres of historicals. If I did not know, and I'm now I feel, you know, I'm like empowered with this knowledge. I have to go now find some of your books to download, which I'm going to do right now. Julia London, have a delightful weekend, and thank you for being on The Librarian. Good night.
Thank you so much, Pam. Good night.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And that's our show for tonight. Thank you so much for being here. I truly appreciate it. Tabitha will be back at her regular time next week. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Pick up a great romance and read. Good night, and thank you, Mom and Dad.